I'm so happy to have Era on the podcast.
Era. Oh my God.
Ladies and gentlemen,
boys and girls, let's go.
Welcome to the Nectar University Podcast. I'm your host, Juliano Hodges, a.k.a. Juliano So Cute Low Key, a.k.a. Every day. And to my right here, we have an amazing, amazing individual. Introduce yourself.
This is a Nectar Podcast?
Absolutely.
I would have worn my Nectar University trucker hat that's in the back of my car right now, had I known.
I mean, we can get it.
When a man looks you in the eye wearing a 4XL doily and licks his lips, you are rendered helpless under his gaze.
That's facts.
The Pixar face. The nasty spirit of one of R. Kelly's butlers. The physical ferocity of a Samoan lineman, Junior. The movements. The man moves like a snake on acid. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I watch you from afar. I watch you on the internet all the time. It really makes me happy seeing you do what you do. It's really exemplary.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I mean, but I also did want you to introduce yourself. Give us the rundown.
Okay.
So.
Do I have to do it? Do I have to do it R&B style?
If you want to. Or just do it your normal way with this track.
I wasn't ready for this. Hold on. I'm going to try to do it. Hold on.
All right. Michelle.
Hold on. Let me get in the character here. What's up, everybody?
That's true.
The old heads in the house.
That's facts.
The washed of washed. The cleanest of the washed. The mega washed. The retired, creaky door hinge old man with the walker. The smooth talker. The outline chalker. The last one at the party and the first one to leave. How'd that happen? Nobody knows, but you better believe. Mm-hmm. My name is Alex Two-Tone. Mm-hmm. Ten toes in. Ten toes in, 4 feet down. Does that make me a dog? Huh. I don't know.
I guess you'll just have to fuck around and find out.
Fuck around and find out. Baby.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I could sing.
That'd be hard if we just both started deep shit.
I wish I had the pipes. Crazy.
Thank you so much. I got a couple of things in here.
You have some cards.
Yeah, I got some cards.
Okay.
I'm so happy to have Era on the podcast.
Era. Oh my God. That's not even. I'm not. What are you doing? That's crazy. Nobody. That is fucked up. How?
I did my research.
You must have. Oh my God. Okay, I've told that story. Okay, I'm going to go with it. Okay. Yeah, it's me. It's Two-Tone, aka Era.
So that leads to the question, okay. And I've always wanted this, and you've answered it. You've told me in person, but I kind of want this for our viewers. Why did you go from Era to Two-Tone? Well, give us the lure on that.
I've told the story, and I'll tell it again. I was a little kid, mm-hmm. And for some reason I wrote Era. This is just to clarify. Era was my first graffiti name. Somehow he knows that. And I wrote Era as a little kid. And I was at this older person's house, and he wrote Vision, who was mm-hmm. he was like someone we all looked up to. And I was brought in there, and my friend Fade was there. He wrote Fade. Mm-hmm. Kamla was there. Kamla didn't. I don't forget what was Kamla. Kamla wasn't graffiti writer, a nickname. Anyway, so Vision was introducing himself to us, and he goes, "What do you write, Holmes?" And I go, "I write Era." And he looked at me, and he had a lazy eye, and he looked at me, and he goes, "No, you don't. My homeboy writes that." And I was like, and he was, you know, I was like a child.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's like saying that to a child is kind of like from your perspective, like a little intimidating. You're like, okay.
Yeah, but you don't want to lose face. And I was like, what do I do here? And I was like, and my friend goes, you should write two-tone. And I was like, okay. And that was it for the rest of my entire life.
Really?
That one.
That easy? That one simple moment.
One afternoon in some dude's apartment, to this day, that people know me as two-tone. And it's not by, I don't introduce myself as two-tone. It just is like, it's easier to clarify when they go, oh, Alex, which Alex? Oh, Alex, two-tone. Right? Mm-hmm. When talking about, oh, Alex, you know, and then people know me as two-tone. A lot of people know me as that name first. So yeah, that's how that happened.
It's crazy that's such a simple moment for like something that really stuck with you for the rest of your life.
You never know.
Yeah.
You have no idea these choices that you make early on as a kid. I made some choices as a kid and it could have gone really bad. I mean, some of them went really bad. And I made a choice to like write graffiti, and to this day it's been a part of my entire life. And I'm like, I thought when I hit like 30, white picket fence, golden retriever, briefcase, family. Graffiti is like something that I don't even tell my kids about. Oh yeah, you know, when I was a child. But no, it's like it's woven into the fabric of my life.
Yeah, the fabric of your being and your entity.
My entity, yeah.
Yeah. How's the love life? How's that going? You know, I kind of feel like we kind of constantly revisit this topic, but I need the update. I've told you a lot about the whole Sid.
Yeah, we talk about your love life. We don't talk about mine.
We're talking about yours.
How's my love life? It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, I think that I've been. I wouldn't say that. What's a love life? What's love? What does that mean?
I'm just trying to figure out. Like, do you have a crush on anyone? Seeing someone?
I always have a crush on somebody. I'm always seeing somebody.
Mm-hmm. But regardless, you're single.
I am technically single. Yes. Yes, I'm single. I'm single. I'm not. There's no gray area. I'm not committed to anybody at this point. Well, I don't know why I made a rectangle.
rectangle of commitment.
Let me make an octagon. There's no gray area in this. No, pyramid. There's no gray area. I'm single.
I like that. That's kind of funny. It kind of works.
No gray area. Yeah, no, I'm single.
Mm-hmm. You hear that, ladies?
Yeah. In case any of you women who watch podcasts want to hit me up, because girls love pods.
They do.
They don't. podcasts are I mean, it's a space dominated by men and terrible men. Mm-hmm. Just by the virtue of having a podcast for me is embarrassing, and it's the last thing I tell people.
Oh, really?
I don't even say anything. I'm saying for me, it's for you, it's fine. For me, being who I am at the age I'm at, it's fucking ridiculous. And also for like the amount of bandwidth, it doesn't like for what it is. Like I have a problem. I can't stop doing things when I start. Mm-hmm. I won't stop until it completely chars into like dust. So like I won't let go of this podcast, and it drives me crazy because most times it's like in the middle of my day, Kat will be like, it's time for you to pod. And like I'm doing eight things and I have to stop everything, have someone come in my office and make a podcast. And like I have to really switch gears. And a lot of times I really don't want to do it. Once I'm into it, it's great because I like talking to people and it's fun. But a lot of times it feels like a chore. Mm-hmm. And also when I tell people are like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I do these things. Like I don't say like, I also have a podcast because I'm like 50 years old, you know? Yeah. If I have a podcast, it should be like a serious, like I should have had like a Spotify deal for 30 million. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel that 100%. Right? Like, okay. I see.
You'll get it. I'm not going to get the deal. You'll get the deal.
Hopefully.
Yeah. You're good. You guys are great. You guys are set. Like just
keep cooking.
Just you're in drive. Let it go. Just roll with it. You're going to like turn around a couple years and be like, wow, what am I? My third Disney movie? What am I doing? Like, I'm
third Disney. They do not want anything to do with me.
Oh, dude. Someone's going to grab you up. You're going to end up on some weird sitcom. Actually, it won't be sitcoms anymore. It'll be something else. You might be in a video game or whatever the new incarnation of media is.
Whatever AI generated form of entertainment that is.
Yeah, like
spat out by whatever new open. Right.
Yeah. We're, oh, no, it's fucked. Yeah. Wait, Do you know the Japanese? I saw, it might not be true, but from what I hear, the Japanese have made an MRI machine that can record your dreams.
I have read and heard about that. I don't know like any recent updates on that, but that's insane.
If they have that technology now, right? I'm not a futurist, and I know this is boring for everyone but me, but like if they have that technology now, combined with the AI technology that's like happening as it's incrementally growing as we speak, when all these things converge, there's no longer going to be like there's going to be a quantum leap in the AI to where you can tell, you'll be able to tell within a year, AI would be like, clone me and make me a version of TikTok. Like make me a version of an entire app.
Oh, I mean, you can already do that. You can tell it to code me Pong right now. And you can literally go into ChatGPT and have it code out the entire thing for like a basic game.
Really?
Like that. Yeah. I mean, I don't do stuff like that, so I don't know how deep it gets.
Yeah.
But you can literally tell ChatGPT, code Pong for me, and it'll just...
Okay. So that's in its infancy, right? So if it can do that, then you can also tell it, hey, make me content that's going to go viral, right? Mm-hmm. And if virality equals money, and you can just tell something to do that, it's going to basically bankrupt. Like money's not going to mean anything with all this technology. Everything's going to be leveled because it's like anyone can like any asshole can become mega viral and attach a product to it and sell it. It's going to devalue everything. And then you mix in the Japanese fucking dream machine and you put that with the AI that's also going to take out filmmaking because they'll just be able to create a work. Like people will be able to like, you're going to be able to, I think, like think and create, like it'll be a direct pipeline and people, instead of like directors and writers, will just be like thinkers. Mm-hmm. They're like, bring in Greg.
Just generate a whole movie.
Yeah, Greg's going to nail this right now. He can do it in one take. He just sits there and he goes...
No, Greg cooks. He performed Lord of the Rings for us the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. But like the most insane fucking version mixed in with, you know, Miami Vice and you know, like he just fucking merged it all. He's a master.
Yeah, that's actually...
I mean, it's not...
I'd be there for that.
It sounds crazy, but everything we're looking at now, as a person that's the age that I am, and, you know, like I was born in the 70s, right? Mm-hmm. Like... So I'm looking at this stuff. I'm like, oh, we're actually in this dystopian future now. Mm-hmm. Like when I was leaving my office the other day, there's a guy on the steps fucking smoking fent and doing galaxy gas. And he's locked into his phone playing like a video game. And I'm like, this is exactly what I saw in science fiction movies. Like this weird dystopian world where like people are on like futurist. Like there's so many new drugs and everyone's on them all the time. Mm-hmm. Everyone's on fucking Ozempic.
Yeah, everyone.
Everyone. People, guys I know who are skinny are like, doing. Like, why are you doing it? They're like, it's fucking great. I'm like, so you can lose 4 pounds? Like, it's crazy.
Just go for a jog.
Yeah, go for one jog.
Get some water.
Pounds. Drink some water.
Get some ginger and some cayenne.
Yeah, ginger, cayenne. Get a colonic. Fucking do some walking. Walk up some hills.
Eat some raw eggs.
That's what I do. Raw eggs. Eat some bone broth for breakfast.
Bone broth. That shit is just the perfect thing to break your fast.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The perfect thing.
I heard from a little birdie that you want to start getting into sardines.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, man.
Wow.
You're like Nardwar for just like a washed idiot. Like you're like deep cutting someone that no one cares about. Like,
nah, people fuck with you heavy. They're gonna love this.
I thought you were gonna get into sardines. I really want to get into them, man. Like I really want to get into sardines. They're so good for you. I can't make myself crack the tin.
Yeah,
no, I have them in the house.
The omega 3s are crazy.
It's out of control.
The protein source.
It's like a superfood. Yeah. I have them. I have cans of sardines that my ex girlfriend left in the house that I haven't chucked. That they're probably good forever. But it's like there's a little can there, and then I bought my own sardines, and I look at them, and I'm like, one day I'm just gonna have the balls to open up this tin. I won't even open it. Mm-hmm. But I made a step. I got a step closer when I was in Paris. I had a sardine appetizer that was mind boggling.
Really?
Oh my God! They were like,
those Europeans love sardines.
It was fire. It changed my mind. That's why I started like looking at them. But I still can't make myself. It's just the idea of like, is it a whole like little fish? Like, I don't know.
The bones, are they going to be crunching around, yeah, eating the eyes?
I love fish. I eat salmon nonstop. I love sushi, but like, it's something about it is, and I know once I cross that threshold, I'm going to be the sardine king.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I say we eat a can of sardines on your next pod.
Okay.
Just
that's it. That's a good way to do it. Yeah. That's actually,
let's break the ice together.
You're right.
Because I want to get into it too. Because like, yeah, it's a great source of protein.
Mega protein, omega 3s.
I'm saying
brain food, brain,
vitamin D,
brain food.
Also, there's just ton of them in the ocean.
Shitload of them everywhere.
You know, it's guilt, you know, guilt free because they're just constantly reproducing.
And they're packed in olive oil.
Come on.
I mean, what's not to love there? You know, you really. Yeah, I gotta get into sardines.
Facts. So, ladies, if you want yourself
This show is basically about finding me a new girlfriend.
That's not what it's all about. I kind of wanted to have a bit where like you kind of just fill out your little dating profile. If you'd be open to that, you know, just like
you know,
give yourself a quick little shout out.
Yeah.
I can lead the charge if you want, and then you can follow up, or you can just go straight into it.
Yeah, yeah. No, you start off, and I'll finish it. Finish strong for you.
Jesus Christ. Hello, ladies. My name is Giuliano, aka Giuliano So Cute Low Key, and I love playing video games. I love eating PB&Js. I love going out for sushi. And I love spending time with my grandma. Wholesome shit, you know what I'm saying?
Doilies.
I love rocking these doilies. I love licking my lips in the moonlight. I love blushing, and I love sunshine. Nothing over 75 degrees.
True.
Anyways, if you want a slice of this, you can't, because I'm taken by Sidney Gray.
True. I thought you were going to do me. You did yourself.
Now, for my boy.
Oh, my bad.
What's your dating profile looking like?
Ladies. If you're on the hunt for a middle-aged man with the emotional maturity of a swordfish, beautiful legs like a titan, a man that's obsessed with self-care and jumping in the sauna and cold plunging for 3 minutes at a clip, a man with premature gray hair, but the face of a baby, the eyelashes of a sheik. I'll introduce you to him. He's my neighbor. My neighbor, Greg.
Greg sounds like a swell guy.
He's a swell motherfucker, I'll tell you right now. Are you looking for a confirmed bachelor with attachment issues? His own company? A deceased shih tzu? Beautiful home with a tree?
And the tree?
A tiered backyard?
That's crazy.
Wood everywhere. A whole kitchen full of collagen and creatine and NADs. BPC 157.
Let's go.
Homemade yams. Ooh. Rice in the rice cooker. Salmon in the air fryer.
Yeah.
Does that tickle your fancy? I just bought 2 steaks at Erewhon for $50. Wagyu New York strip.
Let's go.
And when I say strip, you know what the fuck I'm talking about.
In this economy, that's crazy.
Strip.
Take it off.
I'll take those motherfuckers out. I'll let them cool on the counter, let them get room temperature.
Absolutely. For
that slap them down with a little bit of olive oil.
Nice some adhesive.
Rosemary salt. Ooh. Some pepper.
And maybe a little bit of thyme in there?
No.
Just the rosemary salt.
And then I add a little bit of sea salt on top of that. Give them a little pat. So you guys wait for me. I'll be back later. Go in the backyard. Hose down some things for no reason. Turn the sauna on. Come back. Take another look. Nope. Not ready. Turn the oven on.
Keep the vibes going.
Take your time. Take it easy. Take it slow. If it's one thing I've learned, is you don't have to rush it.
You never do.
Take it easy. Take your time. It's just me, you, and these steaks in here.
To be honest,
oh, you're
ladies,
vegan? Get the fuck out of my house. Please.
Yeah, if you're vegan, you got to dip.
You got to dip. I don't want to hear about it.
Two Wagyu steaks from Air One?
Yeah.
Getting room temp?
Yeah.
Come on. What is there not to like?
I mean, the room temp, I believe that's the secret to making them cook tender. But what do I know?
Oh, it is.
It is, right?
I think it is, because if you have it cold on the inside and then you try to get a sear, it just won't really, there won't be like some continuity, if you will, in terms of temperature.
I believe that. And I will say this. I will go on record and say that one thing that I can cook with complete confidence is a steak. And mm-hmm. it's perfect every time. I know just by eyesight when to pull it out.
Mm. I'm very much the same way. I used to do a lot of personal chef work.
Oh, yeah.
And one of my favorite things to do is cook a little steak.
I mean, the steak is, I find too that a homemade steak will rival anyone's restaurant steak. The only difference is they drown it in butter and oil, and I don't, and it's still really good.
Mm-hmm. No, I get frustrated eating at steakhouses often because I'm like, I could have gotten this for a fraction of the price mm-hmm. and way better.
Way better. Exactly how you want it.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried these meal delivery services.
Oh, those are just...
It's trash. Yeah, everything's soup. Everything is wet and soupy,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Getting like weird little packets of like pre-cut green onions and just like, no, I don't like
yeah,
this.
It all tastes the same. I wish I had time to cook for myself more, you know?
I enjoy it a lot. I try to do it as much as possible. But, you know, when you have something like Postmates at your disposal,
oh God.
Sometimes it's easy to just pull trig, wait for it, and get surprised. It's like Christmas.
It's crazy. Do you like getting packages?
I love it, man. Don't get me started.
Do you like getting packages?
Are
you a package boy?
I am.
Why do we love sending our shit to ourselves?
I know. No, because like you just forget about it. And then you're like,
oh, man.
Wait, what did I get?
Okay, it's not just me.
No, I love it.
I think because I live alone and I don't, there's no one there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's so nice when I come home and there's a box on my door. I'm like, what stupid thing is this that I fucking ordered? Oh, mm-hmm. shit. You know what I just bought? Is I just bought a $250 set of Tupperware, of ceramic ceramic green perfect Tupperware,
and no, I was like, "Yeah, I—that's me all day. No, I would kill for that."
I looked at it. I kept putting it in the cart and be like, "This is crazy. This is crazy. I can't do this. Is no. I'll buy one. Well, one is $50. I mean, there's a whole set, and I deliberated over and over with this,
mm-hmm.
and eventually one day I just was like, bink, I pulled the trigger, and you know,
that one day you just give in. And
I just gave in. So stupid. I should not have said that on the air because that makes me look crazy."
No, I don't think it makes you look crazy.
$250 on Tupperware? I was like, I mean, it's gorgeous.
No, if it's pretty and it's nice and aesthetically pleasing, come on.
It's like a
non-toxic plastic.
Non-toxic ceramic seafoam green with a glass lid. It's so nice.
I kind of want you to send me a pic of that.
I'm going
to
get back to the crib. And let me tell you the craziest part. It all fit in this drawer.
Uh-huh.
Perfect, like Legos.
Like
it went, I put it in the drawer and it's like it's meant to be. It just like was like it fits so perfectly that like you almost, it's almost like you have to carefully pull one out. It's like, it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's I'm at the age where that stuff right there makes me happy. Like I get massive amount of satisfaction out of just like something being organized perfectly or having, you know, just a nice set of coffee mugs.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? That's pretty much when we were out in Japan. A lot of what we bought, like a lot of just like, you know, cohesive Studio Ghibli coffee mugs just to match the aesthetic of the home. I'm all about that shit.
You're on top of that shit.
I love it.
I've definitely, when I take a good look at how I've lived, and you really take stock when like someone comes into your life, you know, if I have a girlfriend and then they start going like, why are you drinking out of a jelly jar? Like, because I'll just do shit where I'm like, who gives a fuck? Like, no one, you know, no one's here to stop me. So I'm gonna use this, you know. And then like, I find that I'll level up if I date someone and they're like, you know, you should have these forks. I don't even know about those forks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the little special like French ones that look like they have a lock on them. Whatever. Oh,
yeah, I know exactly.
Like shit like that, where I don't even know what I don't even have context. I don't think about it. I'm like, silverware is silverware. Like, what do I care? I'll get the shit from like Ross. It's like all, you know, flatware. And like, you start to you know like the bigger picture stuff. I'm good at. Like, I know how to like put together things in the house and put up the, you know, hang the paintings and get the couches and all that stuff. But like the little things, the little knick-knacky. You know, like I don't know how people
details.
Do it. Yeah, the fine, like it's beyond, like I don't have the capacity for it. Like I was at this woman's house and I saw She had these shelves that pulled, she had these drawers that pulled out of the closet. Mm-hmm. These little wire, these metal, and they look, and I was like, oh my God, it's genius. It's in your cupboard. So mm-hmm. instead of reaching in your cupboard, you just pull out this thing. It's like mm-hmm. this, it's like a nice, like steel basket. And it was one of the things where I was like, gotta have that. Mm-hmm. But I would have never figured that out on my own in a million years. No. It's like beyond me. Like, I don't know how people do it.
There's so many things that like even Sid and Ash do in the house that like kind of like changed me. Cause like if I'm by myself, I will just do naturally very boyish things. Like one thing I love to do after going to the gym is just cracking up a can of tuna and I'll just pour some relish in it and just dog that with like a spoon. Oh my God. I know. It's savage. I know, but I don't care. I just eat as quick 30 grams of protein.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Why, who am I? Yeah. I do. Just, I have a version.
If it like weren't for that, I mean, as obviously I love to do like the whole chef thing, but if I'm by myself, I'll just boy meal it all day.
Boy meal it. Yeah.
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 So
I fall into some disgusting habits. I have sometimes I'll do bone broth, 4 or 5 raw eggs, and maybe some coconut water. And then also I might put in this like frog fuel amino protein, like squeeze that in there. Because I'm like, I need look, it's our job to get maximum protein at all times.
100%.
It's our job. It's like a full-time job.
It really is.
Hard.
It's not easy. It's difficult.
You're gonna eat your body weight and protein. That's crazy. Me?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why I just dog cans of tuna and just be like, all right, this is 30 grams. Cool. Knocked it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time I get protein, I feel like I'm getting closer to something, and I don't have an actual number. I just kind of eyeball it. Mm-hmm. But I'm always like, if I just put protein first. So sometimes in the morning, I have a really I gulp down that drink. Mm-hmm. And no one told me to. I just was like, this is the quickest way to protein. Like, I don't want to. If I make 5 eggs, it's going to I don't have time to eat them. Mm-hmm. I don't want to eat them. I can't eat 5 eggs. Like, I literally can't get it in me. Mm-hmm. I don't have the capacity to eat 5 eggs. Like, just 5, like, normal eggs. It's like, but I can suck them down.
I love egg whites. I'm a sucker for egg whites. Matter of fact, speaking of bone broth, Ash caught me the other day, and she was like, that's disgusting. I literally grabbed fire and kettle bone broth and just drank it from the carton, and she looked at me like, that's foul. And I'm like, no, this is good.
This is so good for me. That's all we're thinking about. It's like great collagen. This is good. Yeah, it's collagen. It's filling the protein void. It's a constant screaming angry beast that needs to be fed all the time. The protein monster.
Angry beast that needs to be fed.
Sorry, I'm not checking. I'm just checking. Okay.
I'm gonna take your time. Should just throw this up on the screen? Just what I'm looking at?
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, this is fire.
Kind of the coolest thing we've done recently.
I love the accordion. I'm a sucker for the accordion.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's a French movie that my mom used to show me called Amelie.
Oh, yeah.
And every
it's
piece.
So wild that you're like, there's an old French movie my mom used to show me called Amelie. I'm like, yeah, I saw that in the theater.
Oh. Shit. Okay. I love Amelie. The music in it is so good.
I've watched it once. I couldn't watch it again.
Yeah, it's definitely odd, but I remember just watching the movie, being confused, but loving the music.
No, it's a great movie. I think I thought she was too cute. I couldn't get the performative like cuteness made me go crazy.
Really?
But that was a long
time. You had a crush on her?
I don't think I did. I mean, I think everyone did, right? I don't think I had a crush on her. I think I was like, she's just too
sweet and cutesy.
Yeah, it was too saccharine, you know? French, I like. French, oh my God. French is... Really? Listen, I say a lot of things that... I'll say that like French people, I'll just say the people, somehow... Why are French people so attractive?
You know, they are.
Like, what the... Like, I'm just going to speak, and I'm sure the men are gorgeous. I'm going to speak for the women that I saw in Paris, or the women I see on the internet from Paris or France. There's just like this elegant like structure. I don't know what it is, but there's like a, it's like there's a step, there, it's a different, there's something going on over there.
They're so ahead of us aesthetically.
Right?
No, like just their fits, obviously the language,
the attitude,
the accent. Yeah, I know. The fuck you, I don't care. I've never seen someone look hot while smoking a cigarette until I went to France.
I was just talking to the new girl in my office because I saw her outside smoking. I was like, oh, there's this is the only person that in the office besides, well, Nate smokes, but she's smoking a cigarette. I'm like, oh, you smoke, huh? She's like, yeah. I'm like, what do you smoke? And she's like, oh, I picked this up in Paris. I was like, oh, wow. And I was like, yeah, when I was in Paris, I was out there shooting a commercial, and the DP, this woman would stop and like roll a cigarette, and she made it look, I was like, fuck, I want, because I used to smoke, and if I have one, I'm cooked.
Oh, European person rolls a cigarette in front of you, you're like, I gotta have
it. It looks healthy.
It looks nice.
It looks like it's like
a coffee.
Little stick of turmeric, you know, it's like nothing, it can't hurt you. Right? It's a beautiful, like, it's just herbs.
She legit
turmeric, a couple French provincial herbs, like, and she's just smoking, and she's like, she's looking at the monitor. I'm like, God damn it, I should have one, but I know myself. And then I went to Japan, where they also make it look really good.
Oh, they look really cool. Like those men's in the suit.
Yeah.
Just like dogging a cigarette on the side of the road, stressed about something.
Yeah. They look cool. You know why they look cool? Because I'm going to say it. It's because like they're just like their frame, like they're diminutive. Like the Japanese people are like, they're more lean and small. And like, it doesn't like, you know, like there's something about like the way they're built and the way they smoke. And also the French woman was like compact, you know, like I think it looks different. Like, I don't know what I'm saying.
Everything looks cooler when you're slimmer.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's why people be on Ozempic.
That's true. That's true. Back. Everyone's on that shit. I'm not though. I've been accused of it, but I'm not on it.
No, you've had a crazy glow up. I wanna throw some like love on that.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah.
And I always notice you also eat really healthy. Like you always be eating apples and stuff. And
I love apples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're an apple guy.
I'm an apple guy for sure. I love a watermelon. Nothing like a
don't get me started.
Watermelon season.
Shit.
Put that motherfucker in the fridge. Actually, to be honest, I don't know if there's anything. Watermelon to me sometimes I can't believe how good it is.
No, it's unfair. It's,
right?
No, I look at God every time and I'm like, really? You just did this?
Yeah, you made this fruit.
Okay. Yeah, it's crazy. And it's crazy how much juice is in it. Like,
it's crazy.
It's such an appropriate name.
And it's also not so bad for you as a fruit. Like a lot of fruits are high in sugar, they're not so good for you. Mm-hmm. Watermelon agrees with you. It's about a bunch of water. It's just one of the best goddamn foods on the planet. Yeah, if you ask great. Me,
it's just, you're just drinking practically.
Yeah, you know what? I had one go bad. Not bad. It just wasn't perfect. It was a little mushy. Mm-hmm. I put it in the blender,
right there,
coconut water, and I blended that shit up. I was like, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of salt, get those electrolytes. It's like Gatorade. It's like life's Gatorade.
Life's Gatorade. God's beautiful Gatorade. Big, juicy watermelons. That's what I'm after.
I want some right now. Oh, I feel like such a basic bitch asking these, but I gotta ask them for the peeps.
Yeah, for the people, it's for the people.
What got you into graffiti?
Oh man,
I'm taking myself seriously.
I don't. You know what? I have a really stupid answer.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here for it.
When I was a kid, I used to basically like copy skateboard graphics and comics. And then I started listening to rap music. I mean, I bought like an LL Cool J tape. Like that's, and
my mom met him, and she said he had beautiful skin.
Oh yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
And I was like, and there was a lot of graffiti where I grew up, and I thought it made sense if I loved this music so much that I would do graffiti. Come to find that I thought there was a real connection, but you come to find that like it's not true. Mm. There's actually no connection between rap and graffiti. There might be some crossover, but there's not. It's a totally separate world. And like a lot of the people doing graffiti were kind of like, you know, a good portion of people doing graffiti were like white middle class kids. A lot of kids from the hood did graffiti too, but like I'd say half of graffiti writers are like.
Probably listening to like punk and
graffiti writers listen to rap, and there are rappers who were graffiti writers and everything, but like graffiti, the spectrum of graffiti writers encompasses every fucking thing. Like there's people, graffiti writers, you know, seeing a generation of graffiti writers grow up and enter the workforce, you realize that like we're everywhere, and like you know, there's
like
probably
an eclectic group.
It's really interesting. Like they're in all these creative fields. Like the first thing that all graffiti writers started doing, which was like, there was only one graffiti writer who did this. There's a graffiti writer named Scene who became a tattoo artist. And I remember I started wanting to become a tattoo artist, and I was looking at this guy. I'm like, wow. And like the idea of being a tattoo artist when I was a kid was like, literally like, it was like so out of my grasp. I was like, there's no way. I don't know if I could ever do this. You know, it seems like intangible. Like the things that I wanted to be when I was a kid, I was like, I want to be a plumber. And then that seemed crazy. I was like, I don't know if I could ever be a plumber. And then I wanted to be a graffiti writer. Yeah.
Good and money in subject.
Where I grew up, I was like, dude, the guys that were plumbers made money. I was like, these guys are fucking balling. Also a different time where you probably did make a lot of money as a plumber. But as a graffiti writer, I was like, oh, if I could be a tattooer, that'd be amazing. And then a bunch of graffiti writers started tattooing. And there's guys that, you know, from my crew who became, you know, journeyman tattooers. But like then you see graffiti writers are like infiltrating so many different, you know, sectors of the workforce. Mm-hmm. But it's mostly creative. You know, I don't think there's ever been a graffiti writing doctor yet.
Like someone who's just like a lawyer now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. The guy that's like taking your kidney out, he's like, what do you write? You're like, what? You're going under the gas?
What do you throw up, bro? Like,
yeah.
When it comes to graffiti, where do you think the line is drawn between vandalism and art?
Well, graffiti is vandalism. And it's also, there's an art form to it. But graffiti is disruptive and, you know, it's kind of like the whole ethos of graffiti is to like crush and destroy shit. But also like, you know, there's people that are really good at it. And like to a graffiti writer, unfortunately, like we look at someone who's like a really good graffiti writer who just like fucking destroyed, you know, a freeway or something. And we're like, damn, that's good. Mm-hmm. To a citizen, they're like, this is disgusting. And, you know, fair enough. It is. It's fucked
up. Perspective is everything on that one.
At this age, when I was a kid, I really believed that like I had a right to do graffiti and that everyone else around me was wrong.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, no, this is supposed to be happening. Like, there's no reason for this to be, like, this is 100% what should be happening. I should be tagging. I should be doing throw-ups. I should be painting. It was like a job, a discipline. Mm-hmm. And then when I get older, I was like, oh, actually, it's like, I guess if I had a fucking liquor store and some asshole came and wrote on the wall every day, I'd be fucking bummed. I'd be pissed, you know? Mm-hmm. But I also respect... I respect graffiti writers, you know, for what it's a craft. I mean, if you think I've said this before too, it's like a really good graffiti writer is someone that's put in so much time at doing, it's like almost like a Zen thing of like, they've been doing writing the same name for 20 years over and over again, which I've been doing and I'm still nowhere near as good as like some of my contemporaries. And like some of these guys are so good at it, but only we know how good they are.
Yeah.
Like you will look at, like, there's a guy in my office, Jason in my office is always like, he doesn't really know much about graffiti. He's like, is this guy good? I'm like, that guy's a toy. He's like, I like this guy. I'm like, that guy sucks, but he can't tell because he doesn't have the information. But like, you know, but I'll look at someone, you know, who's like a legendary graffiti writer, just like a tag. And I'm like, damn, that's so fire because it represents to me like, A, it's like, I don't know. There's something. God, there's something so good about it. I can't, it's intangible. It scratches this itch. Mm-hmm. And I've always said that I'm lucky I didn't get too good at it because once you get too good, you can never quit. The guys that got really good, they will never give it up because it's just like so satisfying.
Oh, I mean, no, it is super satisfying. Even just to see that the way, like, one, how easy it can be for some people, but two, like just how they make things pop and doing things. Like when you were showing me that, the last thing that you threw up, you were kind of just showing me that, like,
oh, that piece.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That blew my mind, like, how you're using white to make it pop even more and how you kind of filled everything in and just do, like, these subtle little touches that make a world's difference. It's like, as someone who doesn't really draw like that, I see that, and when it's explained to me, I'm like, holy crap. So I can only imagine doing it for years and years and seeing someone getting your mind blown by them is, like...
It's super... Even after all this time, like, I'm fully retired, and my friends were like, you come out and paint. I was like, all right. And I finally did it. And I was like, God, it was really sad. I did it. I was like, damn, it's really sad. I mean, I was there for all day and I fully had a temper tantrum in the middle of it. I was like, it's like, fuck, I hate this. I've done this every time I've done like a piece, which is like when you're doing a whole big thing on a wall. It's like sometimes a whole 8 hours of painting.
Yeah.
Like you're just like, and it's like, and it fucks with your head because like you're doing something, you know, doing something that's 15 feet wide. So you have to get close and get far. You're painting close and backing up, painting close and backing up. And there's always, for me, there's always a period where I lose track of everything and it's a mess. And, you know, and like, and it's always at the time of the day when I haven't eaten or something. I hadn't eaten lunch and I'd worked out in the morning and I completely had a fucking baby meltdown. And I was like, fuck, I'm kicking cans. And like, my friend's like, dude, shut up. He's like, came here, let me help you. He's like fixing things. And
You've collaborated with a lot of really cool companies like Converse. And when it comes to collaborating with big corporations like that, is it like, is it cool? Is it fun? Or is it like a pain in the ass? Do you feel like they're kind of nitpicky about it?
It's different every time. We do a lot of work with sports teams, NFL and MLB and et cetera. And it's like they have guidelines. And like I had someone kind of break it down to me recently who's like a liaison for one of those teams. And I was like, oh, shit. Like it's like they're dealing with – like we have to jump through the hoops that they set up because they're dealing with like the whole country. And they're dealing with like the mass populace, whereas like we're in a very specific niche. And so we have to acquiesce to what they want because they're holding this like gigantic thing that they have to protect. And if one thing, you know, if something gets up there that doesn't stick to the guidelines of what they've established, it can fuck up their whole shit, which is you're looking at huge amounts of money. And
yeah,
and it's a different ball game, you know, stupid, but ball game. I'll go home. I'll see you later.
No, I feel that because even when I do like a brand deal with a simple company, it's so funny just to see the list of like do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
And the, and it's always insane that the thing, like things that they have to put on the don't side of the list, they're like, you know, I just recently did one with and they're like, yeah, don't say you're cracked out. And you're just like, yeah, obviously. You know, like, so I wonder.
They obviously had experience with like,
they have, oh, I know, they've gone through it. The they're reason like, that list is ridiculous is because they've collaborated and someone sent them something ridiculous.
Like, whatever you do, just don't mention Hitler. You're like, yeah. I wasn't planning on it, but.
Yeah, like, no, they're it's so funny.
Don't talk about how Hitler gave speed to all the German soldiers, and that reminds you of.
Yeah, matter of fact, actually, one of the things in the email said, don't talk about war. Like, I'm going to mention like, war.
I'm going to war.
Like, bro, I'm doing a food review, bro.
What is.
They first started out as like a pre-workout.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was like that's best pre-workout. Is. And then now they just dropped some energy drinks. So I recently did a little.
Are you a dry scooper?
You know, I have dry scooped, but I'm by no means someone I think that needs a pre-workout. I'm pretty, I'm pretty twacked off rip.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. I've dry scooped. I dry scooped it. These guys had this shit in the gym, like behind the counter called like Ghost. And I didn't have, and I was like, let me try this. And they're like, you got a dry scoop. I was like, all right. So I take a dry scoop of this Ghost shit. And I was in the gym and I'm like, what? Like, I literally felt like I just banged two lines of coke. And I'm walking around in circles on the mats. And before I'm doing jiu-jitsu, and I'm like, I'm geeking right now.
No, it's insane. I was
like, I'm high as a kite.
I feel like there's cayenne pepper on your skin.
Yeah, you're covered in ants and you're just like, I'm going to kill somebody.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's. The art of graffiti dying, thriving, or evolving?
I don't think, you know what's interesting? Graffiti was something that was invented like really in the 70s and 80s, like in the form that it is in now, but it's been around forever. People have been writing on shit forever. I don't see it. It's been going strong since. Like it's been getting more and more. There's entire companies based on making graffiti specific paint, excuse me. You know what I mean? Like I don't see it subsiding. I think we need to make, you know, I think there needs to be like, there will be some interesting graffiti media, you know, like there's never been an actual, like, I mean, I guess Beat Street kind of has graffiti. There's never been an actual like good graffiti movie, you know?
Also, this is just a personal question. Do you, have you ever met like someone like Shepard Fairey or Borf or these are just, or, or like.
Shepard Fairey or Borf?
Yeah.
Who the fuck is Borf?
Borf? These are like really well-known graffiti artists.
I know Shepard Fairey, but...
You know Shepard Fairey?
I mean, I don't know him like... We're not buddies, but like if we saw each other, we could talk.
Cool guy?
Yeah, he seems cool.
Have you ever met Banksy?
I've never met Banksy. I don't think anyone's really met Banksy.
Yeah. Maybe we all have met Banksy and just had no clue.
Yeah. Probably. Some people say Banksy is actually Leonardo DiCaprio. Look it up. Yeah, there's a Reddit about it.
Really?
No, I don't know.
I'm gonna put you on the spot one more time here.
Hit me. I'm ready.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
I want you to freestyle.
Okay.
Hey. Yeah. Hey. Hey.
The little whistle at the end is crazy. The bubble?
It's so fire.
Who made this beat?
I don't know. Some goofy ass dude. It's literally called a goofy ass beat.
Is it off of like one of those like Voloco?
It's like some YouTube beat that I just fell in love with. Hey. Hold up. Hey. Yeah. Swag. Hey. Alex. Two-tone on the beat. Yeah, we kicking in with the homies. Shooting basketball. Shoot a three. I said, oh my god, I think I'm blind. I can't see. Ooh. Hey. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Swag. You don't even have to say words. You can just gibberish on the beat. It doesn't
okay,
even matter.
Okay, okay. Yeah, yeah, hey. Yeah. Actually, that's how it goes now. Yeah. You just go, yeah.
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 Wet.
Yeah. True.
Corn on the cob.
Hey.
That's my fucking job.
Hey.
So sweet. Off the barbecue. Touch my meat. Oh, shit.
Hey.
Recoil. Tin foil. Big potato. Saw you walking down the street. A hot tomato. Oh, shit. I will never repost this. I can never expose this rap to the world. I will never let anybody see me on a microphone. I might go home. I do not condone a man my age holding a mic and dropping hot motherfucking bars on the beat of the stars. I had 16 cars and I had to go to Mars and I had to think about the time I spent in another dimension. Did I mention that I'm French and I'm gonna be the Grinch and I'm gonna find a wench and I'm gonna bench press her and her chest and I'm gonna develop the time in my mind to find a something, 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 something. Who put the water in the melon? I'm a felon and I'm spelling every last word you heard, you fucking nerd. And I gotta be absurd, drop the turd in the toilet and I flush it and I busted every last ceramic mustard. And I gotta let you know that I'm down to drop a bar or two and I let you know that I had to know that. Oh man, I fucked up that line, but I'll come and bring it back in time and squeeze a lime on top of the fucking margarita. And I gotta have a Peter with the hummus.
That was crazy.
What happened?
That was fire.
That was
the whole beat, bro. You talked the whole beat. Good, bro. That's easily my favorite freestyle.
Did that crush?
Yes, bro. They murdered that.
No.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Why did you? I mean, you know what's so good about that is that you didn't give me a.
Like a preface the or like a word.
No, the way you slid it in, it was so, you waited, it was a perfect time, it's so organic, I loosened up a little bit, and I just like, it just flowed right into this, and I don't think there's any other way I would have agreed to do
that. That was gas. That was gas, bro. I can't even, that was easily like one of the best freestyles we've had on here.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. I'm going to hell.
Oh, I'm going to wrap it up with this last little question right here. What do you think the young Two-Tone would think about you today?
Oh, my God. You know what? Fuck. Honestly, the young... How young? What age?
I'm talking like teenage up to early 20s.
Completely boggled.
Boggled.
Completely, like, not... It would be like, no, not possible. There's no, the young version of me, like, I did not think I was going to make it past 30 by any means. Like,
really?
I was completely, like, just
shit.
I was a mess. So I think, and I had all these things inside me that I wanted to express and do, but I couldn't figure out how to do them for a long time. And then I finally figured it out and then I started fucking going. But it took me a long time to open up the door, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if the young person saw this version of me, he wouldn't believe it. He'd be fucking flabbergasted.
That's so cool.
So that's a good question.
I like that.
That's a great way to get someone to admit that they're doing good. Because it's hard to say, right? That's
yeah, nice. It is. Super hard to say.
Yeah, I should give myself some credit.
No, give yourself some credit. Right? You're a legend, bro.
Oh well, no, I'm not.
Oh, you kind of are.
I don't, it's, you know what's interesting? I honestly have, I don't, I have no, I don't really have any perception of how I'm perceived mm-hmm. in any way other than like I'm not, like I'm aware of the things that I do that I want to do to make me happy mm-hmm. and I'm aware of the things that bother me, but I don't really have I don't think I have an actual like concept of what I'm presenting to mm-hmm. the world because I've just like, I don't think about the presentation of myself so much. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not something I'm always thinking about. And that's something that everyone's always thinking about all the time. And I'm not taking that away from anybody. I'm just saying I don't think about it enough, probably. And I should mm-hmm. think about it more. You know what I mean?
I'm a little bit the same. Like, I don't realize the impact that I'm having on people.
You don't realize the impact?
At all.
Like, right.
I just go and I just think of the dumbest thing. And yeah. I'm just, like, worried about, like, is it funny to me? And then yeah. and then I'll see, like, you know, I'll gauge on whether something was good or and or just consumable, depending on how it does on social media. But I don't realize that I'm, like, out here making people's days or, you know, giving themselves a thing to laugh about, you know, when times are rough. Like, or even, like, when I do my live streams, I'll get so many DMs after them. They're like, bro, I've been so depressed. And your live streams have, like, gotten me out of that. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like, I'm farting on the screen, dude. Like, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. It's interesting because I'm really obtuse in like, I just don't understand. Like, I've been doing a podcast for 3 years, and, like, people listen to it, but I don't have every time someone tells me they listen to it, I'm surprised. I'm like, really?
Oh, I've had a lot of friends hit me up, and they're like, no fucking way you're on Powerful Truth.
Dude, I was like, when I saw you, mm-hmm. I was like, there's no way I can get him. I swear to God, I was like, that dude.
I'm over here at home.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, that dude is fucking sick. And I was like, I remember talking to Jason, and I was like, I don't know. How do we? And somehow it came around another way. And I was like, no way. Mm-hmm. I was so fucking hyped. Like,
it's all actually, no, it happened because of my boy Pacao.
Yeah.
Shout out Pacao, Cornejo Reynoso, you beautiful motherfucker. But he's in your guys' Discord. You guys were talking.
That's what it was.
Yeah, talking about some of my videos or whatever. And he was like, this is actually like my boy.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll link y'all. And then that's how that happened.
Amazing.
So.
And like, you know, it's funny because you know, like I don't, your perception of someone is not ever reality. It's always off. Mm-hmm. You know, like you always think you know who someone is from their persona and you get to know them. You're like, oh shit. Like you've been cool as hell. And like, I was like, dude, I don't know. I'm a big fan of what you do. Even before, and even still, I'm like, I watch it. It's so interesting how much, it's crazy how happy memes and some of that culture and some podcast stuff makes me. Like,
oh God,
it gives me so much joy. It's like the joy I would search for. I would watch an entire comedy special, mm-hmm. right? And there's probably like 10 really good comedy specials ever. Mm-hmm. Like really fucking funny ones to make you cry. And I'd watch through all kinds of comedy and all these things, movies, to have a moment of laughter. But now it's been crystallized into just the moment.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, and it's great.
And it's like you see just and it's just the moment. And like that's probably good. It's probably bad on some level. But like it fills me up with so much joy.
And that's the reason why I'm scrolling on my phone for hours on it. And I'm literally searching just for a laugh.
Just for one hit.
Yeah, just one little banger of a giggle.
Did I tell you I have this thing? I've been telling everybody to listen. I have a thing called a brick, which basically disables. It's a piece of hardware. It's like a little cube, mm-hmm. and it has a magnet. I put it on the fridge, and I go up to the phone. I go up to my fridge at night, and I tap it.
And it like puts your phone in like
it disables
chill mode.
Instagram. I pick apps, and it disables Instagram and a few other apps. Mm-hmm. So that means that it's turned off. That whatever, if I remember to do it, and in the morning I can't, because in the morning I reflexively go like this. And I start looking at Instagram. Like, I'm not even thinking. Mm-hmm. And I have all these things I do in the morning, like meditation, exercise, all this shit I do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll pull up my phone and I'm powerless. I turn on Instagram and I'm like, I just lost 15 minutes. I just lost a half hour. Like, I'm late, mm-hmm. you know? And it can, like, sometimes, like, on a day when I don't have something to go to, I'll open my phone and look at Instagram in the morning in bed. I'll be in there for 90 minutes. Just like,
just and I'm like,
what the fuck?
It's fucked.
I just flushed 90 minutes, you know? Mm-hmm.
Flushed.
It just flushed it. Yep. Just like that.
Yeah, and that's the beauty and also the shitty part.
The gift and the curse.
Yeah, the curse.
There we go. I'm back.
Are we back in?
Okay. All right. Good. We're going to do another 2 hours?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. It's actually, let's just wrap this shit up.
Okay.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, You have just watched the Nectar University podcast. And once again, I'm your boy, Giuliano Hodges. And we have our wonderful guest right here. Wrap us up.
I laugh because it's funny to me that you're so far away.
That's facts. Pull up.
Come a little closer.
Damn, you smell good.
I'm a text away, a phone call, a breath away. A minute from ecstasy. yeah.
All right. What you working on? Plug yourself.
Baby, plug yourself.
Plug yourself.
Are you leaking? Let's plug all those holes up. Let's get you airtight.
You got some cork?
I got some cork.
Plug them things.
Nectar U. I'm the dean, I'm the headmaster, and I'm a student also. And also I'm varsity. Lacrosse. Gymnastics. Ski ball. Mm-hmm. Ping pong, pickleball.
Water polo.
Hula hoop. I do it all. Hips, lips, fingertips. Let's go. Nectar University. Let me tell you something right now. It's not a community college. You got to be validated, a valedictorian. Look deep inside that dragon fruit. Connect to the nectar. Mm-hmm. Sweet, bubbly essence. Juicy, syrupy center. Wow. I'm about to lose it all over this outro.
I know, this outro's crazy.
This is the end of my life.
Oh my God. Wow, the cans really take you there, huh?